Well, it's very good to be back with you again and to share from God's Word. May we turn to Matthew chapter 15. This is Mother's Day. It's not a scriptural day, but it is an important day. Remember it or else. Matthew chapter 15, and we'll begin to read together at verse 21. Then Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region and cried out to him, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed." But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she cries out after us." But he answered and said, "I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Then she came and worshipped him, saying, "Lord, help me." But he answered and said, "It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs." And she said, "Yes, Lord. Even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from the master's table." Then Jesus answered and said to her, "O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire." And her daughter was healed from that very hour. And the Lord will bless the reading of his word to our hearts this morning. A burst of thunder sent a three-year-old into her parents' bedroom saying, "Mommy, I'm scared." The mother, half awake, replied, "Go back to your bed and God will be with you. There's nothing to worry about." Small child stood for a little while in the doorway and then she said, "Mommy, I'll sleep here with Daddy. You go into the bedroom and sleep with God." Well, the way that things are going nowadays, Mother's Day will probably be ruled out as not being appropriate. They will call it sexist and discrimination and anti-feminine. And to be sure, of course, there's a lot of conflict goes on today in this whole realm of motherhood. Mothers are a very select group of people. Selected by virtue of the fact that they are the only ones that obviously have brought life into the world and the miracle of life into the world. There's not a man in the world can do that. And that's what separates them, no matter what they say, no matter what their regulations or rules or laws or whatever it is, a mother is a miracle of life itself. But that is not all that makes a mother. Biological reproduction is but one stage of motherhood. There is much deeper qualities that are necessary for to be a mother. And often that is what is missing in many a home as well. There's the bond between the mother and the child that goes really way beyond understanding. There's the prayers that she offers for the child, the love and the care and the comfort and the understanding, the sacrifices, the rebukes and the threats and the laughter and the tears. And, well, it just goes on and on, doesn't it? One wonders how they can cope with it all. So it is. No wonder they call mothers multitasking people, yeah? And us men, single-minded people. So, yeah. No one can really define what is a good mother. There are just different kinds of mothers in the world. And each one of them is very precious to many, many children. In spite of all our advances in modern science and learning and techniques, motherhood has suffered seriously from the past few years. And it has been belittled and it has been defamed and it has been run down. And because of often selfishness, of course, we see that very often they just neglect their duties. But the unfortunate thing is that what often takes place is that those that have forsaken their duties, of course, live in misery. But one thing about misery is that it loves company. And so they often pressure other women to be in the same position. If I can't have fun or spend time with my family, then why should other mothers have that privilege of doing that? And so there's often an attack on people and families and motherhood and the ability for them to be able to serve their children in a way that God has given to them. Very often we see that motherhood has as well been denied by cruel abortionists, which have taken away that privilege for them. And this tool of the devil is destroyed very often families and life and crippled those that are could have been brought into the world, all because, of course, of the fact that they do not follow God's pattern. Yet in the midst of all of this, there are some still small voices in science that are beginning to come to the conclusion that actually babies need love and comfort and cuddling. Frederick the Great of Germany many, many years ago did an experiment which could only have happened many years ago, but they took 50 children that were literally orphaned, children that had no family, born on the streets, all that kind of stuff. And they took them and they put them in an institution. They fed them. They gave them comforts of life. They did everything that they could for them, except they never touched them, never cared for them by the loving hand of a mother. All 50 children died, every one of them. Children need a lot of cuddling. Huh? They need a lot of touching. Motherhood is proved both right and necessary for their healthy growth. They can do without all kinds of things, especially the electronic toys, but they can't do without a mother's touch in their life. And maybe we have been making a grave mistake in many ways, because it is the touch of a mother that has often affected people's lives the most. Abraham Lincoln said, "All that I am and hope to be, I owe to my mother." On numerous occasions, the Lord Jesus Christ upheld motherhood. He looked after his own mother, and on the cross, he made sure she was taken care of by John. It is God's purpose and plan for the human race that this is how he has designed the program, that they're given special qualities to care for their children. The mother and the family are also, of course, the very strength of the nation. And it's often been said that the future of the nation is dependent upon what is happening in the home. And it is what is learnt at the mother's knee that is more critical than what is learnt at the teacher's blackboard that determines their destiny. In Matthew 15, Jesus exposes the heart of a woman of great faith. First of all, we see her love. "Have mercy on me, my daughter is possessed by a demon." Well, you can't get much worse than that, can you? There's no real motherhood without genuine love. "Can a mother forget her child?" Isaiah says, "that she should have no compassion on the son of her womb? Even these may forget," he says. And as natural affection and love are sometimes often destroyed, so motherhood is destroyed with it, and the children suffer very often irreparable damage to them. Children become victims. They become vicious in their responses. They find themselves at a loss as to know how to respond. But here we see a lady that came along to find the Lord Jesus Christ in the hopes of being able to find an answer to her desperate problem. Her daughter was ill, and if daughter was ill, of course, that meant pain to the mother and sorrow to her heart as well. Many a mother would rather suffer than to see her own child suffer. And we see that happening many times. So she came to the Lord Jesus and she said to him, "Have mercy upon me." This is not a self-seeking sort of opportunity. Her daughter was to the point of death, and she cared and she worked for her good, and she understood the difficulties, and she was willing to sacrifice and to come to this Jewish carpenter of all things and to plead for mercy from him when they despised the Jews and the Jews despised the Canaanites as well. And there wasn't a healthy atmosphere at all for or conducive to her coming and asking for mercy. But her concern was for her family and for the well-being of her daughter. And so she was willing to take that giant step of love. Simply, she understood what was going on in her daughter's life, that she needed help. And that is worth millions of dollars, to know that mother cares. If nobody else cares, mother cares. That's the most critical aspect that children can have. And so what we see is that although we may have nice homes, very often they're empty of real love and family spirit that is necessary in them. No one seems to care about the children. No one seems to listen to them as to what is going on. And as a result, their problems just get deeper and deeper all the time. And in so doing, they go through some pretty rough times. And we see that happening all the time. We see it going on in our schools and the chaos that is there amongst our young people. And then we ask ourselves, what went wrong? Well, what went wrong is that there was no genuine love to care for these people in any way whatsoever. This lady really cared about her daughter to the depth of being able to intercede on her behalf, because motherhood knows no bounds and it knows no limits and it keeps no accounts as to how much they're willing to sacrifice for their children in times of need. It just knows how to give life and how to give joy and how to give understanding as well. And we read those amazing words that she came to Jesus and she worshiped him. Just exactly what form that took, we're not told. But it was significant enough that she was willing to see in the person of Christ the real value of life, and that he held that real value of life in his own hands. This is the most precious act of love and of motherhood that is known, is when she knows how to worship at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, and to beseech and to pray and to implore and to give thanks and to ask for blessings for her children without limits. And it's all there if we just simply call upon him. It was maybe a little bit embarrassing. It was maybe a little bit humiliating. But it was very, very special indeed. Somebody wrote this poem: "When I was a little mischievous lad, the neighbors would all agree that I must be going straight to the bad, but mother believed in me, and just because she believed in me, I couldn't be mean, you see, for it helps a boy to do right when he can say, my mother believes in me." What a tremendous testimony that is. Love always comes to the point of worship, to recognize where wisdom and mercy and truth are found and where we can get genuine help in a time of need. And so, mothers, make sure that this is your practice, to worship at the feet of Christ, to be able to give to your children what is necessary for them. Secondly, we see her perplexity. It seems strange that with such good qualities of love that this woman shows, that the lady runs into some real problems and some testing. She had all the right graces. She had all the right attitude. She had all the right reasons. But all of a sudden, she runs up against a real wall. And the first is the silence. Jesus did not answer her a word. She probably heard many things about this Christ, this Jesus of Nazareth, his compassion and his love and his ability to be able to heal people and his power to save and all those wonderful qualities. And she probably thought, well, here was somebody that would really be able to care for her and to be able to intercede on her behalf and that of her daughter as well. But she can get no answer from him at all. Christ is silent. In fact, he's almost to the point of being rude, we would say today. What can be wrong? What did she say that wasn't right? You can imagine the perplexity in her mind as she considers the silences of Christ and trying to understand what is taking place. Very often, of course, we realize that the silences of God speak louder than his thundering voice. If for no other reason, it will test this woman's faith to the very limits, to cause her to come back again and again and confess that he alone was the only one to help. And here Christ is building character and exploring the depth of her faith, whether she is really genuine. Christ often said that to the people that followed him. Multitudes followed him, and he would turn to them and say, listen, he said, if you're going to follow me, the foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests. The Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Consider the cost before you come. And here we see the same thing as well. Christ is pushing her to the limits, as it were. And he has a great lesson to teach, and he wants to see what her response is. Secondly, we see the rejection. His disciples heard him saying, and they said, send her away. This lady was a Canaanite. Remember the Canaanites? They were the ones that were in the land when the children of Israel came out of Egypt, and they had to fight and subdue them, and God promised them that he would get the victory over them. And they're still around. They didn't do the job as well as they should have done. And so there was always this tremendous hatred of the Canaanites. They definitely weren't God's people because God had cursed them, as it were. And sad to say, the disciples just simply aped the thinking of the local people of the time. Send her away. That was a typical Jewish response to anybody that didn't agree with them as such. And they thought, of course, the disciples thought that the silence of Jesus was a condemnation of her position and of her nationality. And so they were just merely trying to help the Lord and to get away from the persistence of this lady constantly crying out to the Lord. But in actual fact, the Lord was beginning to reach out to the lost world. He said, I've been called to the house of Israel. But in fact, he was beginning to reach out to the Gentile world as well. The disciples hadn't learned that faith is no respecter of persons. Faith goes across all borders and all languages and all ethnic groups. It's necessary for everybody if they're going to have a right relationship with God. And like them, of course, we see that here is the very focus that Christ is looking for. And that is the reality of the fact that faith in Christ is the very key to life itself. They can't understand what Christ was doing. They can't understand how faith can listen even in the midst of silence. And very often, maybe we've been through that as well. We cry out to God and there's nothing but silence. What's the response? Keep crying. Keep knocking. Right? Keep knocking. And the disciples couldn't understand that. And so the trials of life, of course, test our faith in order that we know how sincere we really are in it. And they respond by trying to get rid of the woman instead of trying to find the faith that was necessary. But only a life of faith knows the real joy of faith. And in fact, what we see here is that where there is real faith, rejection merely confirms God is going to do something bigger. Very often, the delays of God and the silences of God are the very means whereby He has in store for us something bigger than what we imagined at first. That happens with our rewards in life. Christ talked about the rewards and the Pharisees that prayed on the street corners and to get a crowd to watch them in their wonderful prayers they're making. And Christ said, they've got their reward. He said, you go into the room, into the closet by yourself in secret and pray, and you will receive a reward. And the amazing thing with Christ is that the longer we wait for the reward, the greater the reward is. Some people want their rewards now, and we can get them now, believe me. But the real rewards are those that are still to come. Here the woman is waiting to see what Christ is going to do. And so we see this testing. Jesus said, it's not fair or not right or good to cast the bread to dogs. The Lord Jesus had a very special mission to fulfill. And that was obviously to go to the house of Israel, to seek to bring them back again. He constantly preached, you know, repent for the kingdom of God is at hand. That's exactly the same as what John the Baptist had preached before him as well. And the miracles and the works that he did prove that he was truly from God, that he was divine, that he was the one that was sent from God. And so he said, you know, Jesus said, you know, even in another place, he said, don't throw your pearls before swine. He said, there's no sense just trying to tell people that won't listen what faith is all about. And so what we see here is that Christ is saying, don't throw the bread before dogs, the unbelieving, when the professing really need that bread of life for themselves. And Christ is testing the faith of this lady to expose exactly how deep she felt her need was. Well, you well know what this is like, don't you? Sometimes we pray about things and, oh, Lord, just bless all the missionaries. But, you know, sometimes there's a real problem and we need to pray a lot deeper. In fact, God answers us very often according to the depth of the need that we really see. And so as a result, what we see is that Christ is saying very simply, don't take the bread of life itself, that rich, beautiful quality of eternal word from God, the truth from God, and give it to people that are not deserving or not interested in it. So he severely tests the motives and the heart of this woman for genuine love and genuine seeking. What an amazing aspect. Sometimes God does test us to see really how genuine we are. Sometimes the waiting makes us to grow more clearer in our focus, in our prayers before the Lord. Sometimes we have to focus on the important issues of whether it is just the blessing or whether it's Christ himself that we want. And so we see her faith. And the first thing we notice is her persistence. In verse 27 there, she says simply, yes, Lord, or I agree with you. Now, this is a pretty heavy slam to call, that Christ should call these people dogs, that Christ should call these people the most infamous name possible. And she says, I agree with you. I agree with you. That's not politically correct today by any means. You know, they would have had a hue and a cry to how rude he was. And yet she comes to Christ with more fervor than ever. She was a Gentile. She was outside of the economy of faith. She was outside of the covenant of God. She was not in line for the blessings per se. And she knew it. And that is the first step, isn't it? When we come to God, what is the most important thing? That we know and we confess that we are sinners before God. And that's hard to accept. We don't like recognizing that we're sinners. We don't like all that stuff. But that is the necessary step. She said, I agree with you that that is right. The dogs don't deserve the bread, as it were. And in spite of her background as a Canaanite and a people that had been given over to idolatry, she persists in believing that Christ would be able to intervene and that he would intervene, even though she was way outside of the so-called economy of God. How much this should speak to us as we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. So often we're put off so easily and discouraged and defeated and say, God isn't going to do anything. There's no sense praying anymore. There's no sense believing anymore. No sense doing anything anymore because God isn't doing anything. And we look back and we say, well, what has God really done? And some are so easily put off. But this mother, after being called a dog, persists to believe. Because why? Well, the effectual, fervent prayer avails much, of a righteous person avails much. Persistence shows how genuine the love and the faith really is. Second, we notice she was humble. She said, the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the table. This is one of the most touching evidences of real, genuine faith. Pride can only destroy faith and spiritual perception. It won't let us delve into the depths of knowing what real humility is to obtain faith. That is why so many things of God hurt the proud and the pride and the haughty and those that are self-reliant, because the pathway to glory is always downward, never upward. So it isn't. It's always on our knees, not shouting from the housetop, as it were. And how much this should speak to us, because of the fact that we recognize her humility was in her desperation to have an answer for her daughter's sake. She does not even hesitate to acknowledge her condition that she was in. But she says, the dogs are even glad for just a few crumbs from the table. Now here's the depths of faith. Everybody looks to God and sees and asks the question, how big is my faith? She looked at the Lord Jesus Christ and she said, just a crumb's enough. Just a crumb can transform my daughter. Even faith is a grain of mustard seed. But here she says, just a crumb is all that I need. I'm not asking for the world. I'm not asking for all of heaven, as it were. She said, I just need a few crumbs, and I know that that'll work. We need humility to see our true position before God. We need humility to receive a just reward of our faith. We need humility to come to such a God as we have, who is willing, ever so willing, to help us if we are sincere and genuine in our approach to him. That's why the psalmist said, I'm a worm and no man. The great French philosopher Pascal, he said, we are imbecile worms of the earth, and yet we're depositors of truth. We contain the very truth of heaven in these frail bodies that we live in. Thirdly, we see how wise she is. She said, just those crumbs will be sufficient. And taking up the very words that Christ said and playing on the wisdom of them and the rebuke that he gave to her, this mother of faith turns the whole thing into a blessing. Where most people would be as mad as a hatter, right? To use a Western expression, right? They would be as mad as a hatter at him for saying such a thing. She takes the very words of humility and turns them into a blessing. Just give me a few crumbs. And what a triumph of love and of hope that this is. Because real faith is ingenious in finding ways to receive the blessing from God. Remember, that's what Jacob did in the Old Testament when he wrestled with the angel of God. You know, and the angel said, let me go because morning is coming. And Jacob said, I'll not let you go till you bless me. What an amazing thing. What did he realize? Here was one opportunity in his lifetime where he was that close to God. He's not going to let him go until he receives a blessing, right? And what an amazing aspect. This woman's the same. She's not going to let the situation die just because of a rebuke that is given to her that she didn't really fully understand. Because real faith makes the impossible happen when nobody else believes it. Just a few crumbs will do the work, that's all. And as a result, she was willing to be satisfied with that. This is big faith, so it is, to see the great things that God can do with just a little bit, just a little bit. The mother knows the fact that, of course, that God is rich in mercy and full of grace and compassion and love towards us, you know, and we think of those great things, when in reality is all we need is just a little touch of his hand upon us. Christ is conquered by her faith. Christ is absolutely moved by her compassion for her family. Christ is going beyond what is normal and what he even said is theologically correct at that time. He's just absolutely moved. And so we see her reward. The first thing he says, of course, is that he commends her. Oh, woman, great is your faith. There's only two people in all of the New Testament that the Lord Jesus Christ commended for their faith. And it wasn't the disciples. It was this woman and the centurion that asked on behalf of his servant for Christ to heal him and not even come down to the house, just say the word. Christ said, such great faith he had. And here this woman is the same. And they both displayed the same qualities as well. They were persistent. They were humble. They were wise. They wouldn't let it go until Christ moved on their behalf. And in the sight of God, great faith means great people. Not what we have or possess or what we're going to do or how we can move the world. Great faith in God's eyes is what he looks for. Only two people Christ said that of. Because he saw in them an amazing quality. If all else is lost, the mother has produced a faith that the Lord cannot deny. And in God's eyes, that makes a great mother. A great mother. A mother of faith. There is nothing in this world that is more important, more necessary than the faith that a mother has for her children, her family, and for her life's work, whatever it is. All other things will flow for the good if the faith is there. And then secondly, we see the commandment. Be it unto thee as you desire. Notice it's a blank check. He said, be it unto you exactly what you desire. This can be taken in two ways. It can be taken as a command from heaven to work on the mother's behalf, as it were. And what Christ commands will surely come to pass. Yeah? You will say to this mountain, be moved, and it'll be moved, right? And that is the command of God. Or it can be taken as a command to the mother to not only have some of the crumbs, but to actually come to the table and to eat freely of all God's rich blessings that are on the table. And both of those are probably correct. We don't know. And so as a result, Jesus said, I say to you, go and help yourself basically to whatever you need, and your daughter will be well. And it's a carte blanche invitation. Because of her faith, because of her little faith, she actually had the resources of heaven available to her. She came as a poor dog to gather a few crumbs, but soon She was welcome as a guest at the table of the Lord because of her faith. What a picture of salvation that is, isn't it? We come to the Lord with nothing. We come to the Lord in rags, spiritually and destitute and far from God and at enmity with God. What's he do? He said, if you have the faith, you'll sit with me one day in the heavens at the marriage supper of the Lamb, which is only for those that have faith. Because without faith, everything else is sin. What an offer Christ gave to her. As you desire. But that is not given to everybody. Because the important thing we notice here is that Jesus knows because of her faith that her desires will be in accord with her faith. How critical that is. You know, the scripture says, if we have faith, we can move mountains. We can do anything. But the faith is what controls what we ask for. And very often, as James says, we don't get because we ask amiss. We don't have the faith to reconcile those two together. She had learned the lesson of not being wasteful, even in faith. A few crumbs of faith is all is necessary. She would use his grace for the sake of her children, not for her own pleasure at all. How careful we need to be when we pray and what we pray for. Because in Psalm 78, talking about the children of Israel, the psalmist said, God gave them the desires of their heart and sent leanness into their souls. Their faith wasn't in what God was doing. Their faith was in what they wanted more than anything else. And it was to their detriment. Thirdly, we see the comfort. Her daughter was made well that very hour. This is what she had come for. This is what she was willing to humble herself for. This is what she received at that very hour. Where is the sacrifice of humility now? Forgotten. Completely. It was worth it because she received the comfort of knowing that her daughter was well and she was fully satisfied with all that Christ provided for, and what Christ provided for her was sufficient for even something as desperate as a demon-possessed daughter. Mothers and others as well, of course, what are we praying for these days? What are we going to find answers for in our problems? We cannot receive unless we ask. We cannot receive unless we ask correctly. We cannot receive unless we ask unselfishly. We cannot receive unless we ask in faith. Real, genuine faith. We do not dare violate our high calling as a mother or father, whatever it is, and let others pour their faith into our children. That is completely unacceptable. Make sure that no matter what our children are learning, they learn some of the values and the steps of faith. That is what will bring them to the Lord Jesus Christ. That is what will give them victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. That is what will, of course, obviously take them to heaven one day. And that is our responsibility, is to make sure that our children know what it is about faith. My father taught me faith, but he never said a word to me. He went to the mission field, felt called while they were on the mission field, and they came back home, and he fell and broke his back, and it was about 10 years before we were able to go back again. And he sought to go back again. He approached the assembly, and the assembly wouldn't commend him for some reason or other, never did find out. But he decided he'd go anyway, without commendation, without any promise, without any support, without anything given to him. He went out to believe that God would supply. He didn't have to talk about faith. He lived faith all the time. The Lord will provide. We do the Lord's work, the Lord will provide. That's a great lesson that is so necessary for today. The mother of Tom Carter prayed that God would save her boy and make him a preacher. In actual fact, he landed up in prison as a wicked sinner. One day, she received a telegram from prison to say that her boy was dead. She went to her bedroom and prayed, "Oh God, I have believed that you would save my boy. Now, which is true, the telegram or your word?" And so she rose from her knees and said, "There must be a mistake in the telegram. God never goes back on his word." And there was. And not long after, her boy was saved, and when he was released from prison, he did become a preacher. All because the mother believed that God would do the work he said he would do. How much faith do we need? Just enough. A crumb. And God will do the rest. We don't have to do it. It's God that will do it. And we trust him to fulfill the promises he gives to us. Let's sing a couple of verses in closing. The first and last verse of 500. Our Father, we thank you for giving to us your Son in such a beautiful fashion. Though so humble and so poor, and from such great obscurity should come the very seeds of eternal life, both now and forever. Lord, we give you thanks that we can put our trust in you, knowing that you will not fail, that not one thing that you have promised will fall to the ground, and that we can believe in you and know that of assurance that it will come to pass. Be with us, we pray, and Lord, we ask that thou, like the man of old, increase our faith. We know how weak we are. We know how frail we are. But we know that you alone are able to reward that faith with your mighty promises and your mighty working. Guide and help us as we part and go our various ways. And we pray for your blessing upon each one here. And we ask that thou uphold and keep and guide us, and that in everything that Christ may be magnified. For we ask it in his name. Amen.